listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live, coast to coast, 200 Fox Sports radio stations. It's 3 o'clock here in Vegas, 6 o'clock on the East Coast. Drive time. We got a big show. This is going to be one of those rapid fire, Ollie in his prime, left, right, left, right. And we got the pros who know, Steve Fezzik, back from an extended absence, a guilty verdict in yesterday's trial. We'll do a quick recap on that one. A lot of feedback. I was too easy on Fezzik. But people say, why be hard on him at all? Why not just be like those other shows? And I'm like, well, wait a minute. If those other shows mess up, what happens? Boring radio. If we mess up, the country loses money. The stakes are just higher. That's all there is to it. Brad Powers, with all the college knowledge, sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. But you can't have pros without Joes. He's in L.A., and he's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And we start in the NFL. This has been buzzing about the NFL world over the past several days. And more earlier today as reports continue that Ezekiel Elliott is considering holding out until he gets a new contract from the Dallas Cowboys. Training camp obviously coming up here in the next couple of weeks for Dallas. So, RJ, with all of this going on in the Big D, where does Vegas stand on Ezekiel Elliott and his stance?
Yeah, 50 days till the NFL kickoff. That's exciting and scary, both. To me, this is an example of running backs in the NFL, and we've talked about it for a few days. It bears repeating at the highest level, the idea that it's probably unfair. A guy like Zeke, who you could make the case, and it's not even worth splitting hairs, has been the best running back during his 3 years of his career, right? Would you really think that's crazy?
No.
No. Maybe it's Le'Veon Bell would be tough because he was, you know, he didn't play a ton. Obviously Gurley, but how's Gurley doing now, right? So who else is in the conversation? Anyone else jump out at you, Fez?
Well, I would have said David Johnson until he completely disappeared with his injury and then last year.
Oh, you would have said Walter Payton at one point too. I mean, we're sitting here in 2019.
Exactly.
So, and here's the thing. If the Cowboys were able to manipulate the situation the way, quite frankly, the Steelers attempted to, Zeke will make millions, and he's already made millions. But at the end of his viable career as a big money earner in the NFL, he will not have made the money he deserves. Meaning, in a business when there's billions being chopped up, the best running back, which is what? Even if it's a decreased position in its importance, still one of the top five positions, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be quarterback, wide receiver. Now it's going to be what? Running back, rush end, cover corner maybe?
Left tackle.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, though they actually say nowadays that left tackle, that's the old blind. I mean, you're back in 2002 where they're saying the center's more important. It's interesting because obviously, Lawrence Taylor is the guy that drove a lot of the whole blindside talk way back when. But either way, a top five position. And if you're the best player for 4, 5, 6 years, which he potentially could be because he has not dropped off, and Colin Cowherd, Jonas and him don't like each other. He's my personal friend. I defend him at every turn. But the fact of the matter is, I think he said something wrong as he was talking about trading Zach. That's his position. Hey, 2 years left with the team option in year 5. So the Cowboys control his rights for 2 more years. He has not played a single game in which he could have gotten a contract, meaning he's holding out. That's the expectation updated today with additional reporting. Unless he gets a new contract. If he gets a new contract, he will not have played a single game when the NFL would have allowed him to have a new contract. And he's saying, I'm not going to. It's not about the year before. It's not about hating that team option. It really is about, I'm not going to play a minute more than I need to because you can now legally give me a contract. So gimme, gimme, gimme. That seems like something I wouldn't like. It feels like you're not honoring your agreement. But boy, if there's any place where I think the players have a point in all of major American sports, it's running backs in the NFL, especially elite ones. Why? Because by 28, it's pretty much over. Brad, you had an amazing stat about last season, the leading rushers in the NFL.
Yeah, so out of the top 10 rushers in the NFL last season, 9 of the 10 were age 25 or younger, RJ.
So Colin, that's amazing. Colin mentioned, oh, maybe Zeke's already dropping off. But if you look at the numbers, let's look at yards per rush, Fez. How was 2 years ago versus last year?
Yeah, so 4.7 yards per rush last year, and that's what his career average is. No drop off.
But the year before, it was what exactly?
Rookie year, 5.1, and then last year, 4.1.
Yeah, so he literally went up between year two and three.
Right.
He went up. I mean, through all of that morass that you gave us, we got that he went up last year.
Yeah, better.
Yes. Now, I think it's unequivocal the Cowboys' offensive line got worse. So if somehow you're in, I mean, the NFL average is what, 4.0, 4.1?
Yes.
Okay. So he's half a yard per carry, every carry on average.
And everyone knows he's getting the ball.
And the offensive line isn't what it used to be.
Clear decline with injury.
I think that's a great word, declining. So to me, I don't think Zach dropped off.
Zeke.
Oh, Zeke.
Yeah.
Or Zach.
Yeah.
I don't think Zeke dropped off at all, but to me it doesn't matter because by the time he's 28, 27, 28, history tells us he'd have to be a once-a-generation type exception to be worth a multiple-year contract starting in year six. And that's what the league literally is asking him to wait for. And if it's almost impossible for your best running backs to get a second big or a first big contract, that feels unfair. Now, thinking about the potential of a trade, Jonas, you have a strong thought about the way that trade would go down.
Yeah, I just think that it's made a little bit more complicated. I think part of that is because of not only the position, but also Ezekiel Elliott. He's got another 2 years on the deal. I don't know another team out there with all the questions off the field that would give him the kind of contract that he wants right now. So if we're talking trade, I think that makes it kind of difficult to find a partner in that they're not going to want to go someplace unless they're certain they're going to get a contract extension, and who can trust him off the field this many years in a row in order to have the faith that they can give him that contract and it's not going to go awry.
Yeah, see, you took a left there at the end because I thought your implication was no one would want to give a running back entering his, you know, 26th, 27th year like a 3-4-5 year deal. But you're saying it's not only his age, but it's the off the field issue.
Yeah, you can't trust him.
Yeah, and listen, I do not often feel bad for players. And by the way, Jonas, I mean, the guys that really know him call him Zach sometimes.
Okay.
But, I don't want to make a big deal that you're kind of on the outside, I'm on the inside.
Listen, I get it. It happens.
But the fact is, I think the athletes in general, the idea that if they are mature at age 30, they've missed most of their prime, and based on the sport, their entire prime. You know, tennis, and again, tennis has their exceptions, but, and then if you think about who is going to be the least inclined to be mature at age even 30, is someone coddled, someone who has everything done their way from day one, like as long as they can remember, because Now, I don't know this from personal experience, but if you read the reports, you know, LeBron James was running things in Akron when he was like 12, right? Now, obviously, he was on Sports Illustrated on the cover when he was like 16 or whatever. But to me, from what I've seen, and, you know, actually, this is interesting. Daryl, is if you don't mind jumping on. So you grew up in L.A. and you grew up around Byron Davis, right?
Baron, yeah.
Baron, yeah. I'm having trouble on the names today. Now, he was it was expected he was going to be an elite athlete, right? I mean, it was obvious when he was young?
He had a growth spurt.
Oh, so when he was like 14 or 15, it wasn't like that kid's going to be something.
Yeah, I mean, you knew he was nice, but he had a growth spurt. He was kind of a chubby kid, like a little chubby kid.
In the Husky section.
In the Husky section.
So, but I think based on the reading, I guess I'm just reaching out for affirmation on this just because I can't really point to say other than LeBron, but it just feels like the idea, if you just read about the AAU that ESPN just did, I mean, how old are those kids?
13, 14.
Yeah, and they're getting traveled around. They're getting shoes. People are trying, you know, the shoe company's already courting them. I mean, wow, it's just difficult for a kid. I mean, I just can speak from personal experience. Every difficult amount of growth I've had has been through necessity. If you said, RJ, you can have it the easy way or you can have it the hard way, I took the easy way. Now, I wouldn't say the easy way as in crazy easy. I'm saying like the human nature way, right? There's not many people that we say, well, there's a shortcut through there. And they say, no, I'd rather walk the 5 miles around. Now there are those people, right? But that's a minority. I'm in the big group. Hey, give me the easy way. But if I got to do the hard way, I'm willing to do it. Well, the question is when it comes to maturity, do these kids that end up being professional athletes, are they ever really forced to grow up before 30? And to me, some do, obviously. And we talked about Steph Curry. We talked about Clay and how these are guys you would want your kids, at least in my opinion, you'd want your kids to emulate. But man, if you had to say in general, and that's an interesting question we'll close with, in general, would you rather, Fez, your lone son, your lone child, Johnny, would you rather him be like a random professional athlete when it came to off the field or a random person?
Random person.
Yeah.
Easy.
I think I'd agree. The only exception I would make is say, well, they probably have good discipline in some way. Meaning, it doesn't matter how talented you are. If you're a professional athlete, you're working pretty hard.
Yep.
Right? But other than that, and it's not that they're bad, it's that they usually haven't been put in a situation where they're forced to grow up. Because I don't know many people that grew up before they were forced to. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting stuff. If I just got the names right, this would be a good segment. Got to watch a few more of those games, baby. You know, those boring games that the hardcore radio guys watch? And I listen, I'm like, you really watched that baseball game? I'm thinking they saw the YouTube, you know, the little 8-minute condensed version.
Soon no one will watch baseball.
When we come back, we're going to continue with the Cowboys, and we're going to talk about their quarterback. I'm not sure his name. What's his name? Oh, it's Dak. We'll be right back.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a few minutes, we have some disagreements between Vegas and somebody who covers the NFL.
NFL.com even. There are no sacred cows. Thank you for joining us. We have fun each weekday bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip It's 104 degrees, 104, and the neon is flowing.
So, RJ, we talked a lot about the Ezekiel Elliott situation in Dallas. He wants a new contract. His fellow teammate and in the backfield, Dak Prescott, also is the subject of contract conversation and whether or not he will get a big deal from the Dallas Cowboys. Where does Vegas stand when it comes to Dak?
You know, Brad Powers made a great point, though, is when I said Zach incorrectly last segment, I was really combining Dak and Zeke.
Yeah. It's easy that way.
So in a way, it was like Jay, like, you know how, like, when Ben Affleck was dating Jennifer, you know.
Bennifer, yeah.
Exactly. Well, see, yeah. You know all this stuff. Yeah. You probably have, like, a pile of Us magazines in your closet.
Brangelina.
True or false?
No.
Brangelina. Us yeah, magazine. All of them out there.
Brangelina, yeah.
All right, so a little redemption. So, Fez, you love Jimmy G. I mean, we don't even need you so much to say it because, well,
I love Jimmy G.
I mean, we got it on tape. But Dak is someone you like more than most, meaning most people's opinion of Dak. So if you're driving your car, don't close your eyes. But otherwise, close your eyes. 1 to 32, where is Dak Prescott in your rankings? Okay. Jonas, real quick, just off the cuff, voice of the fan, what's your number?
Around 14.
14. Fez?
Number 12.
Number 12. Now, you ever hear someone say presented without editorial comment? It's kind of like, let's let the facts speak for themselves. So 12 is Dak. Who's 13?
Baker Mayfield.
Okay. Now, I can see that, to be honest. Now, let's be candid. This is next year's rankings. If you could have one of those two quarterbacks, who would you want?
Baker.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. You got your whole list?
I do.
Okay. Which second year quarterback is ranked set? I'm assuming Baker's the highest, right?
Mahomes.
Oh. Well, he's He's a third year quarterback.
Yes.
So once again, what second year quarterback? Terry Bradshaw. Yeah, this is interesting.
Darnold.
Darnold.
And where's he at?
He's 24th.
So think about that. You're saying that feels like Baker might be too high. Do you really think he distinguished himself that much?
I mean, just was very high on how he was playing at the end of the year. Maybe I'm overreacting.
All right. But back to the idea, you got him behind Dak. Now that I'm fine with. Now, 14.
Watson.
No,
Texans.
Is it interesting that you never say his full name? Because it's like somehow you want people to think it's some Watson that they starting for some team they're not familiar with. Let's do the guy justice. Give his full name.
Deshaun.
What? Yeah. Watson. So a guy who, in his rookie year, played as well as any quarterback when he was on the field of the last decade, perhaps.
Had a great year.
Yeah, and you've got him behind Dak.
Yeah, a lot of it's because Dak hasn't missed a game. You know, 16 games all 3 years. He has been completely healthy.
Boy, listen, I'm not one to pass judgment in general, but three years is going to tell us 16 games times three is going to tell us that, oh, this guy's durable. But the fact that Watson had one knee injury, it's supposed to be, oh, he's injury prone.
Well,
so
he was
literally
up.
It's the number is zero for Dak and one for Deshaun Watson. But that makes him injury prone.
Well, Watson had some injury issues last year, too. Remember, he couldn't even take a plane for a couple of weeks. Had to take a bus to the games.
Well, and he still played. If
he
anything,
played
it's a sign. And listen, I don't know whose sternum is any tougher than anyone else's. Sounds like, if anything, that should make him seem more durable. That seems crazy. Brad, what do you think?
No question. I'd rather have Deshaun Watson over Dak Prescott.
All right. And then finally, 15, Cam Newton.
Cam Newton.
Yes. And again, hit or miss with Cam, but I tell you, that's giving Dak a lot of credit. But here's the thing. This is what we know about the NFL. And let's give credit to the Ringer website, because the NFL guys over there, I think, were the first that drove his point home, which is you win Super Bowls one of two ways at the quarterback position. One is players on rookie deals, so first contracts. And that's why you see the Rams last year got so aggressive with Goff, because he's on that first contract. He's relatively cheap, so they had money to spend. And it was like, now's the window, because when we got to pay him 35 sticks, is it going to be worth it? Is Goff worth it? Now, listen, if a quarterback, if it's Andrew Luck, you pay.
Yep.
And that's the other way to win, which is you have a Hall of Fame quarterback. Go back, and again, the Eagles and how that went down is one of the great mysteries in NFL history to me, if you how you judge that quarterback situation when they won the Super Bowl. But otherwise, it's rookie deals. And you could almost make the case, since Wentz was on a rookie deal, and then you got a backup quarterback salary, you're fine. You're still feeling, you're not overspending a quarterback.
Right.
And that's the key. If you overspend a quarterback, you got to get elite performance. And think about the Andy Daltons of the world. That's the contract you want to avoid, because he's probably not going to get you a Super Bowl, but he's costing you big money. You might as well roll the dice again with the rookie.
Matthew Stafford at Detroit.
But again, a lot of people, and there was in the news with Tate, right?
Yeah.
He was talking about...
Oh, come on.
Yeah. but the fact of the matter is, Stafford, if you were just looking at him like a college draft or a college recruiting prospect, is better, right? He's got the better arm. It's just on the field, it doesn't translate.
And he had a really bad year. He did have a couple of small broken bones in his back, and possibly that was the reason last year.
Yeah, there's always been a reason, I guess. So the fact that, Jeff George had a few excuses also, but sometimes guys have great arms, and for whatever reason, it doesn't come together. But here's the key as we wrap. Dak is not, I'll tell you this, open betting around the round table here is Dak doesn't make the Hall of Fame.
Agreed.
I mean, is anyone want to bet yes?
Heck no.
Would you bet yes at plus 300?
We're getting into the neighborhood.
Really?
I'll take plus 300. You want to press the button, Fred?
All right, so we have a $100 bet that's going to get solved in 12 years, maybe. It'd be so funny, Fez is in the old age home. Yeah. And you come on now. It's almost like at the end of Breaking Bad, you come to collect and taunt him in his wheelchair. he's only 55. Speaking of that, we're going to talk about the World Series of Poker in a little bit. And Fez cashing in a senior event not that long ago. How old are you?
55.
I've never seen someone with your color hair be 55 years old.
Bruh.
Yeah, it may not be completely natural.
It looks like shoe polish.
Two bottles in there.
You know what's funny, though? Everyone thinks he's got a toupee. He has the thickest hair you're ever going to see. Check out his picture at Fezzik Sports, F-E-Z-Z-I-K, at Fezzik Sports. He's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell. So my point is, and this is what we talked about, would the Cowboys be better off, and let's bring it all together, we could call him Zach, or we could say Zeke and Dak, do they let them both walk? Does that improve this team's chances of winning a Super Bowl in the next 7 years? Yesterday, Fez, you said you think letting Dak walk instead of paying him 30-some. Now, what number would work? I'd pay him 22, 23.
Yep.
Right?
Sure.
So, but it's like, my grandfather used to go around and he still had, price in the late 80s. He still had house prices from the 50s in his mind. He'd be like, I'd pay $24,000 for that house. And be like, it's 78, It's like, oh. And he keeps looking, kept looking. So I get it. He's not going to sign for 22 or whatever. But at 30-some, I think it hurts the Cowboys. I'd rather them roll the dice. It obviously would help them that next year having Dak. But do they win a Super Bowl with Dak?
Yeah, do you want to go 9-7, maybe 10-6, lose in the first round of the playoffs for the next 7 years? Or do you want to have a chance to win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, so to me, Zeke, I'm not so sure about. As in what to do, because I don't understand the character issue. I'm only looking at it from the outside. Dallas is going to have insight into that more than I do. or anyone from the outside does, the Cowboy organization. But this is not a character issue when it comes to Dak Prescott. This is about, is he a Hall of Fame quarterback? If he's not, you don't hold him after the first contract. Now, some people might say, well, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If a guy wins the Super Bowl, he becomes a Hall of Fame quarterback. Yeah, I think there was a little merit to that. But let's think of the ones, Brady, Manning, both of the Mannings. Now, again, you could say Eli is not a Hall of Fame quarterback. I think you'd be right. But I tell you this, he played like a Hall of Fame quarterback in those games. And he was pretty close in his career. He's not that far off with two Super Bowls. Big Ben. And then you got that next tier. Everyone wants to say, oh, the Chargers quarterback just is, nah, maybe. I don't think so. And then they lose those games by 4 points in the playoffs. The Big Ben maybe wins. We know Brady would win them. All right, in just 1 minute, we are going to do the Madden aftermath. I mean, the amount of talk on this was crazy, and Brad Powers gets a little redemption.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
This is Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 15 minutes from now here on FSR, we will take a look back at a $10 million winner that went down in Vegas a short time ago. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Yeah, that World Series of Poker. Shocker how old the winner was. You're going to be surprised when you hear these numbers in a few minutes. Speaking of age, the thing, I'm 48. The thing you got to keep reminding yourself as you get past being a kid, and I mean at this point, Brad, you're 35, is that right?
Yep.
Is you're not a kid.
Nope.
And these days, the iterations between the I don't think generations is even right, but let's say groups of 4 years, maybe 3 years, 2 years. I think back when when I was a kid, you could say, you know, hey, the kids graduate 3 or 4 years ahead of us, about the same, 7, 8 years, no. It's like every 2 years now because it's like Snapchat's cool and then it's not, and it's TikTok or whatever. It's hard to keep up. And I think there's a huge divide between, did you grow up with a device in your hand? Were you 7 with a device in your hand? Mm. Because that divide means you never knew. I mean, my grandfather just passed away, you know, a little less than a year ago at 95 years old. He talked about the time there was horses in the streets and there was no cars. And to me, that was incomprehensible. It's like, well, come on. I saw that in a movie, but come on. And that's how people in 30 years are going to talk about not having a device in their hand. Like, oh, grandpa grew up before the iPhone. So I got to admit, I was pretty surprised that Brad was right about Madden. Now, the Madden numbers come out. It's July. So we talk about them. Every radio show I listen to for the next 2 days, that seemed to be the main topic of conversation. And the reason? Because seemingly the entire NFL was reacting.
Yeah, and one in particular was Chargers wide receiver Keenan Allen, who took to social media to say this.
Be playing Madden 20, period. All right, number one, my overall is an 89, for sure. My short route running is a 91. My medium route running is an 88. What? Like, my deep route running is a 75. Like, bro, who's making this? No, wait, who did this? Speed's at 87. Like, bro, ain't nobody just running with me step for step like that, bro. Like, come on, dog. It's not that sweet out there, man. Like, what is you thinking? My strength is 69, like I'm a little boy. I'm just not understanding something. I'm not understanding. I'm an 89 on the game, Pro Bowl, back-to-back, 1,000. I don't understand. What's up?
Well, I got to tell you something, Daryl. You edited that sound?
You didn't have to.
You didn't think you could maybe clip that up a little bit?
You know, there was two pieces. There was two pieces, and we'll discuss that after the show.
Now, I got to tell you, it was fascinating. It was almost like, you know, when you get a call and you start wondering if the other person is very intoxicated. It just sounded like you were listening to something you weren't sure. Almost it was like a bug in the house. You weren't supposed to be hearing it. Well, listen, this wasn't the only reaction. Now, in this case, I did restrict Daryl. He is the advocate of the players. I said, pick three tweets, three only, that are representative of some other player reactions.
Yes, we'll start with Colts tight end Eric Ebron. He said, "Madden on that bull, I see." We also have we also have Lions cornerback Quandre Diggs. He said, "Don't follow me now at Madden. We ain't got nothing to talk about." And finally, funny. We're going to go to Cowboys defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence. He was a little upset, too. He said, "Hold up, Madden. You don't just disrespect me like that with an 89 and get away with it. Put some respect on my name. Until then, Cowboys Nation is on Madden strike." So that's what's happening right now.
Oofa. Now, Brad, listen. I'm not sure. Sometimes, like, if you... It's always funny when someone goes, "I think the world's going to end tomorrow." And it's like, "I'll bet you." It's like, well, you know, which side of that bet don't you want to be on? It's almost like you were right, but now you got to live in that world that you were right. So your thought was that this would be a motivator for players, you know, quote unquote, disrespected.
Yeah, that's what my hypothesis was yesterday. And there's even more. Bills defensive back Tre'Davious White said exactly those words. "We got Shady in an 84, which is very disrespectful. Then you got Josh Allen, our quarterback, at a 74. Man, that's the extra motivation that we need to get the acknowledgement we deserve."
So, Jonas, what do you think of all this?
I get where they're coming from. It's comedy to me. If I had that much money in the bank, I wouldn't need some nerd putting together a video game to tell me how my intermediate route running was.
In a way, the Madden brand, this is so awesome.
I'm going to tell you why this is so upsetting to them, because they're actually playing this game.
Yeah.
So you're playing this with your homeboys. You're playing it against your teammates. You're playing it with your little cousin. And your cousin is making fun of you. "Oh, bro, you ain't nothing, man. Look at that little Madden rating you got." So that really upsets a person.
You know, that actually is a brilliant point. Imagine you're playing yourself and everyone's running by you. Yeah. I mean, that would be... especially for the alpha males that always want to show strength.
That's a good point.
It is a good point. But now here's the last question. Did Madden purposely... So, you know, people will speculate on radio with the hosts. You know, did he put... Let's say you could choose to put Tom Brady number one. Or, in fact... It feels like Madden maybe did that here. Mahomes was over. That was going to be a conversation piece. And in a way, it's what I tell Fez is, I say, we never do hot takes for hot takes. It's cold cash over hot takes. But if you've got an opinion that you're willing to bet and you feel like is defensible, that's against the grain, now that's good radio. So the question is, when Madden had kind of a tiebreaker, did they decide to go Mahomes over Brady because it would have more conversation? And then the question is, did they, because this is what I would have done, find out who the most reactionary players are, the kind of guys that's going to take to Instagram with a big following and do a rant. And then you purposely give them some bad numbers, and you know you're going to, like, lighter fluid on kindling.
I like that.
Right?
You've
got to wonder what kind of strategy was behind this.
We talked about it last year during the early portion of the college football playoff show, to where you knew they were going to put certain teams ahead of other teams because it was always going to work itself out in the end anyways, but it's a TV show, so what's going to create the most buzz and controversy afterwards?
You know, now that is, boy, this has been a highlight. Jonas, Daryl, and let's just quickly recap that and we'll end the Madden subject, is the idea that there was going to be, if I recall, two teams were playing each other, and they knew one was going to win, one was going to lose, one was going to be in, one was going to be out. So they had them ranked in a way that was conversation worthy, because ultimately it wasn't going to matter.
Yep.
And really, ultimately, the Madden scores don't really matter, except to the person who's playing himself. That's rarefied air. But wow, a lot of conversation, and we are part of the problem, it seems. When we come back, we're going to weightier matters. I would say there's probably three or four questions that I don't know the answer to that drive the toughest decisions of my life. I think the Houston Rockets coach, we have a quote, some sound from him, in which he addresses square on one of those questions of the universe.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Now that the trade is complete and Russell Westbrook is a member of the Houston Rockets to play alongside James Harden, the big question is, RJ, how will those two coexist in Houston?
Yeah, and we teased this by saying this is one of those bedrock universal questions. And here's the thing to remember. If it was just about living life to figure out life, and let's be candid, hopefully as the decades go by, we learn things. But if there's some answer at the end, we would have it because the person at the end would write the book about it or do the video. It's like we've had whatever, thousands of generations, and we still, it's so many things are a mystery, right? Love. What's the part? Why are we here? You know, all the. And here's one of those questions that I'm not sure there's an answer to is, do you just look at the numbers and say, hey, Billy Bean, Moneyball worked because Moneyball got the Oakland A's, who didn't spend as much salary as other competitive teams back during the Moneyball era, they got into the playoffs. And once you're in the playoffs, you've got a 1-in-8 chance or whatever the math is. And sometimes you're going to win, sometimes you're going to lose. All right? That's one side. And the other side is 6-for-6, baby. Jordan. Mike doesn't lose when the pressure's on. I got to tell you, when it comes to education, when it comes to my approach to life, I'm a, you know, I would say I'm 99th percentile with the amount of math I use in my life. Not saying I'm a PhD level math guy, but I'm thinking about things, you know, do you want to eat that day old soup? It's half price. What's the chance of getting sick? You know, thinking in bets, Annie Duke style. And on the other hand, I'm also kind of old school where it's like, I do think Jordan was different. Right? I do. And I don't think it's a coincidence that A-Rod played so poorly in the playoffs. You know, the whole clutch, the whole hot hand conversation. So now we got Westbrook, obviously, we got Harden, and we got a borderline genius in Daryl Morey. He is a borderline genius. That's unequivocal. How are they going to approach this season? And this was on the Woj podcast over at ESPN, and we're hearing from D'Antoni, and this is fascinating. Let's listen.
Do we sometimes go too much one-on-one? Yeah. Do we sometimes ISO or do we not move enough? Yeah, we do sometimes. You try to stay in line. But James is a horse, and now, you know, the second superstar you had is a horse. And it's funny, you know, B.O., you mean they got to change their offense. Well, it's been the number one or two.
Right.
Golden State's the best ever, and we're right behind them.
Right.
Actually, from mid-November on, we were 1 point better offensively efficient than any team in the league. So we're not changing much. You know, we'll tweak it, but to say you got to change, you can't win that way, that's B.S., you're putting yourself in a position to be able to be the one to make that shot. And if we do that and give ourselves a chance to win every year, I think we're doing our job.
That's the question. You could listen to that tape and you could say, see, they're staying the course, 1,000 points of light, and they're saying, listen, we got the math on our side. We think it was a fluke we lost 2 years ago. It was a fluke that we lost, or not a fluke, but it was just bad randomness, and we're just going to keep doing our thing, right? And then part of me thinks that tape makes me hate the Rockets next year, because if you sit there and under your breath go, well, you know, after November 15th, we were number one in the league. It's like, who cares? You didn't win anything. And I don't understand, because in gambling, there's the same question, right? Is we always debate, I had the right side of that game. And then we say, well, in the long run, you're going to win most of those. But you know something? In the long run, we're all going to be dead. And there's a good show on HBO way back when called Luck. It only went one season. It was about horse racing. And some of the gamblers, there was four of them in a group, and they ended up winning two major pots of, you know, like daily double type kind of things, pick six type things. And then at the very end of the last episode, it ended up being, they asked, they go, what's going to happen to us in the long run? And the smartest one of the batters said this.
Well, I suspect in the long run, the story is we all go broke.
Because horse race batters tend to go broke. So to me, Fez, how 10 seconds, how do you balance that?
I tell you, you watch those Houston Rockets just collapse their last two games last year and the year before, and you got to feel there's something to clutch and something.
But it was just earlier that we said, oh, you talked about Deshaun Watson and a couple of this and a couple of that, and it was not a big enough sample size. This is one of the universal questions we wrestle with every day.
The Odd Couple is coming up next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are straight out of Vegas. We'll be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.